The following radio program was made possible by partners of Sought Out Global Ministries.
Jesus came to show us the love of the Father, and if you don't receive your identity from a father, then you're going to be messed up in all kinds of ways. So I think the enemy and the world system has done a really good job. Now we need to do a better job of releasing the Father's heart to people, to fathering them, mothering them, showing them the love of Christ, you know, helping them find their identity, affirming their identity, calling them out like Janice and Herb and Bethany shared, prophetically speaking to people. I mean, it's powerful when you prophetically speak into someone's life and tell them who they are. I mean, you remember what it was like when your dad said, "Man, son, you did it great." Yeah. There's some people who have never heard that, and they have all kinds of problems with their identity, and they're searching for some affirmation through a relationship that only the Father in heaven can give them.
Have you struggled with what your identity is in God? Do you long to be used, released, and told that you too have something to offer God's church and the body of Christ? Or maybe you just find yourself in a hopeless situation. Today on Sought Out Radio, we continue our discussion around the incredible power of God that takes ordinary people and makes them do extraordinary things, even in the midst of overpowering opposition. So join us and our special guests, Dan Hammer and Janicini, for part two of Encounters with God. That's coming up next on Sought Out Radio. And welcome back to another edition of Sought Out Radio. I'm your host, Mark Grote, along with Herb and Bethany Marks and our special guest, Dan Hammer, senior pastor at Sunrise Christian Center in Everett, and Janicini, founder of the Elephant's Nest and Storehouse Ministries. When we left you last week, we were exploring the idea of getting more out of our identity with God and embracing the idea that many of us don't believe that we're wanted or needed by God, and that the big things to be done are always to be done by others. During our conversation, Dan Hammer was explaining that our perspective in terms of who God is and what he can do in each of our lives is completely relative and oftentimes one-dimensional. And as much as we might enjoy hamburger for a meal, how many of us would want to live on that every day? So let's rejoin our conversation from last week, where Dan Hammer was telling us how easy it is to diet on the same thing without ever knowing there is something so much better.
The scripture keeps coming to me, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." Mm-hmm. See, I don't know if food's good until I taste it. I don't know if I like McDonald's cheeseburger or canless steaks until I go in. But once I've gone to canless, and then McDonald's burgers don't appeal to me much anymore. I've got to go there just a few times, and people have taken me there, which is really nice. But, you know, you begin to taste, and you get around people who are tasting and encountering God, and there's something about being around people that influence our life, people that have encounters with God. And as we share our encounters, because they're not going to hear about God unless we tell them. And not only that we tell them, but we show them how you hear God, how much he loves them. And sometimes the messages in the past that we've given as the body of Christ have not helped individuals know that God really loves them and that God is really concerned about their life, that he's involved, he wants to be involved in every detail, that he loves us so much that he can invade our life anytime he wants to. And you start to taste his goodness, and nothing else really satisfies.
I love that. Yeah, I love
so
that.
True. That is so right.
I love that, because it's that whole idea of, I've often told people, if you've only had Spam, you'd never know what filet mignon was.
That's right.
And so it isn't until we've actually had it, like you said, using your metaphor, that we know that we've been dieting on Spam for a long time. And so getting people to experience God really comes back to, I think, making people available to the people and the individuals who are open to bringing this, the move of God, right?
Absolutely. And I think in Hebrews 6, it says, you know, that we are those that have tasted of the Holy Spirit. We've tasted of the good word of God, and we've tasted of the powers of the age to come.
Yes.
And a lot of believers have not tasted of the powers of the age to come.
No, they're still on the mother's milk, right?
Yes.
Well, I think that's the heartbeat of this show, is we want to make a clear point that, yes, War Room resonated because people are being pressed. They're being pressed with darkness, but there's also something that's raising up that's showcasing accuracy, and it's God.
Absolutely.
And people are desperate to, they're turning out because of the press in their life. So we're saying go past the press in your life and the desperation to true intimacy, to pursuit, to abandoned, to closeness that he would be initiating, that you would have a mindset to expect him to interact in your life, that you would have interaction with him daily about business, about your family, that it's not just something where you kneel by your bed at the end of the day and you connect, but that you are walking together in intimacy, that there's more, there's more.
And you know, I also want to talk about, just for a brief moment, those that are listening today who have had dreams. In other words, and I'm talking about the kind of dreams where there's, God, I so want to do this for you. And it could be, well, here's an example. A friend of mine and I decided just to put up a table, and it said dream interpretation. And it was in the parking lot where a church was handing out school supplies for the beginning of the school year. And there were about 1,800 people showed up from the neighborhoods. And we just put up this little thing saying, you know, as we conversed, and we thought, you know what, I know that God is talking to people, and they're wondering what to do, as what's been shared here. When we sat down at our little simple table, hung up a shingle, dream interpretation, people began to line up. And I'm thinking, all we did is hang a shingle. And I want to encourage you, listener, what is it that's rising in you that you would step out and try? I just so want to say to you, pray and then go. In other words, inquire of the Lord and inquire of the timing, of course. But the fact is, if there's something rising in you of desire, I really want you to pay attention to it, because far too many of us sit on what God is attempting to rise in us. You've walked with the Lord for a while now, and you're still in the bleachers, and I'm saying to you, get out on the field. Go. Get rolling, and watch how He'll guide you in this stuff. When people came up, I was wondering how, because I'd never done dream interpretation amongst those that are searching, who are pre-Christians. And I tell you, the type of anointing of the love of God that came down was profound, and insight for their lives became very clear. And it's because the friend and I went out into the field, and I'm inviting you out into the field. Come on. Because what God will do, if we'll just give ourselves to Him in loving somebody. And I read this in a book years ago. Let me throw it out there. If you knew that you could not fail, what would you do for Christ and His kingdom? And as I ask that question, pay attention to what rises in you, because I believe He's put a seed of greatness in you that's from His own heart. Pay attention to it. As we've been talking, there really is an authentic reason. You weren't born 100 years ago. You were born for a time right now, for such a time as this. There's a reason for you. Pay attention to it. And get before God about it.
One thing that seems apparent to me is that the world is trying to define people today. That's an attack of the enemy that is trying to twist. To me, that speaks to the lack that exists in a lot of people's lives. And I'm setting up a question for you with this. You guys are out, Herb and Bethany. Janice, you're out. You're out. You're apostolic, Dan, and you're a releaser. It's one of the highest compliments I can pay you. You're a releaser. And as a consequence, you're out. Have we not done our job in the body of Christ? That is the world getting ahead of us on some of this stuff, trying to define our young people? Have we left something behind, and there's an opportunity for us to be more impactful into our society? What do you say?
I think that it's really a father issue. All those things really get down to a father issue. They don't know the love of the Father.
Come on. There it is.
Jesus came to show us the love of the Father, and if you don't receive your identity from a father, then you're going to be messed up in all kinds of ways. So I think the enemy and the world system has done a really good job. Now we need to do a better job of releasing the Father's heart to people, to fathering them, mothering them, showing them the love of Christ, you know, helping them find their identity, affirming their identity, calling them out, like Janice and Herb and Bethany shared, prophetically speaking to people. I mean, it's powerful when you prophetically speak into someone's life and tell them who they are. I was in Uganda with leaders from about 6 African nations. I was giving all these, you know, words, very specific things, and I looked at this one young gal and I thought, Lord, what do you want me to say? And he said, I want you to tell her I love her. And I was like, my first thought was, well, she's a leader, you know, that's, but I've learned, don't question what God says, just do it. So I said, God wants you to know he loves you. And she looks at me and she has this little girl on her lap and she just bursts into tears. She says, nobody loves me. And she just starts to shake. And I said, no, God loves you and I love you and your daughter loves you. And she said, no, my husband doesn't even love me. And she just broke. But something happened in her just by saying what the Father said to her, is that the Father said to say, I love you. She just wrote me recently. She's now been elected to a government position. Something's totally changed in her life. Within 2 days, I saw a woman that was depressed, that she almost looked like she was sick. But just one word from heaven of what the Father said to her, and all of a sudden her countenance changed. And she's been writing me. Her name is Mabel. She's a sweet young lady, and I know her husband and a little girl. And just one word from heaven, one word of the Father's affirmation. I mean, you remember what it was like when your dad said, man, son, you did it great. Yeah. There's some people who have never heard that, and they have all kinds of problems with their gender, their identity, and they're searching for some affirmation through a relationship that only the Father in heaven can give them.
And that's what we were talking about, is calling out destiny and yes. purpose.
Yeah, and individuality.
Yes.
I say the Christians need to quit being against things and yes. really start holding up what we're for.
Yeah.
We're for to people to understand the Father's love for them, that mm-hmm. Jesus came so that we have access to the Father's love, that we begin to show what we are for, that we put out that God Almighty is close, he's near, he is approachable, that yes. we are for you encountering a living God. We are for believing in you and calling forth your identity and your destiny. This business of being against things, it just doesn't go very far, because they're really hungry. And when you start the lamb chop gospel, I did a message one time called the lamb chop gospel. If an old dog has an old dried up bone and you try to take it away from him, he's going to fight you. But if you drop a lamb chop in front of him, he will let go of that old bone. And it's time for us to drop the lamb chops in front of people so they'll let go these mm-hmm. issues that are crowding their lives.
Dan, you got a word when we were praying before this broadcast, and it was freedom.
Yes.
Is that a missing ingredient? In is that the tie that binds all these things together?
I believe that freedom can only come from Jesus. And so, you know, there's a lot of people promising all kinds of freedoms, but if you really get into people's heart, they're not free. And when you walk in freedom, people know that you walk in freedom. It's interesting. I used to go in the Soviet states. People said, we could tell you're American. I was like, well, how? And they go, you walk free. Hmm. And I said, what do you mean? They say, you walk free.
Wow.
And I noticed that, you know, they walked, you know, making sure nobody was, you know, going to get them. And I realized, as Americans, we walk free. We don't, at least in the past we did, we walked like we were free, and we weren't worried about what could happen to us because we were Americans and we were about freedom. And it was a really an incredible insight into me. And the Lord spoke to me and said, when you walk in me, you walk in freedom, and people notice that you walk different. We're to walk in love. We're to walk in freedom. We're to walk worthy of the vocation that we've been called in. We've been, you know, we're to continue to walk in the Spirit and minister to people and touch people. And because we've been set free, we can help others be set free. That's really our mission, is to set people free. And people are just crying out for freedom. They're bound. They're hurting. You know, they can look really good on the outside sometimes, but if you really get beneath the surface, there's people that are struggling, saying, I want help. I want to be free. Can I have what you have? And I said, yeah, it's available to all. And that's what people are really crying out for today, is freedom.
As he was talking, I was carried away with it. Oh my goodness!
I was looking to you.
You were. And I think of freedoms. There are so many, so many. I think we'd be surprised with how many Americans need freedom of mm-hmm. one kind or another. But one of them that I'm thinking of, Dan, was pretty profound. It was pretty dramatic, and it's a... In fact, I shared this story today with a gentleman that I was sharing the Lord with, and about a young man that was in the military, in the Navy, actually. And this young man was in the Navy thinking that he could find freedom in the Navy just being aboard a ship where there were men, in regards to what I'm going to share with you, and that is this. When the boy was 7, he was dragged into the bushes, and a horrible thing happened to him. 2 weeks later, the same thing happened again. He's of a Filipino descent living in Hawaii. And on the second trauma of being dragged into the bushes and horribly, you know, violated, in that moment of trauma, an adversaric influence grabbed a hold of his life. Now, he is in the Navy, and he continues to struggle with this thing. But now he's being pursued by a few men on board the ship as well. And he thought, what is this? I thought I could get into the military and be free. And he heard that if he were to go to a certain address, that there are people who believe that Jesus sets them, can set people free. And so he came. And when he sat down, and I asked him a few questions, what was in him manifested, and the black pupils in his eyes turned milky gray white and spiraled into the brown iris of his eyes. Now, can you imagine those looking at you? And then the same color, his tongue turned. Then he crawled on the carpet, leaving a trail of saliva to jump out the second-story window. So I tackled him, dragged him back in, put him in the chair, and then he turned himself upside down so his feet were on the wall. His head was on the carpet. And then he began to look at me and speak to me, and this is craziness, and he began to mock me in demonic tongues. And I inquired of the Lord. I said, God, you got to help me on this one. This is freaking me out. But I'm not going to show him that. But to me, I was going, oh, my gosh. And he was so calm. The voice, you know, in other words, the Lord is so in charge. It's just so amazing. And he said, speak once and sit down. So I brought the command to and gave charge to that resident spirit to come out of this young man. And then I sat down. He continued to mock, but then he began to stare at me, mock more, look at me, and I was upside down, remember? And all of a sudden, the demonic sound ended. Then I watched his eyes come back to normal, and he's still upside down, right? He's coming to his senses that he's upside down. Mm-hmm. And he crawls out of the chair, stands up looking at me, and sits down in the chair, and he's going, what just happened? And I explained to him, and the smile was getting bigger and bigger and bigger on his face. And then he said these words. He said, I'm free, aren't I? And I said, yeah, you're free. And he leaned back in his chair, and he took a deep breath, and then he said, I haven't felt like this since I was 7 years old.
Wow. Awesome.
You know, wow. Freedom. That's the name of Jesus,
yes.
The one that we serve. He brings freedom. And that's what Janice, you're talking about, honey. That's what you're talking about, Pastor Dan. That's what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. He is the one who brings freedom.
Yes.
And I'm so glad he showed up, because mm-hmm. I was a little nervous that day watching all of this. This is exciting to me.
You know, this idea also that there is an adversary. I just want to touch on that briefly. Because we are talking about people who are largely bound up in some sort of bondage. And what separates them usually between where they're at and God is that, in fact, that bondage that they carry. I think a lot of people will say, I believe in God, and I even believe that, you know, we should pray to him and that he hears us and that he speaks to me. But you just told a story.
Uh-huh.
I'm not so sure that a lot of people even believe that. And not that they don't believe the story. And I think that's true too. But that there's an adversary. There's a spiritual world here that there's warfare going on. And we lay in the balance, don't we?
Yes.
Well, you know, there's a movie that's just coming out. But I mean, everywhere you look, Hollywood believes in it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, they entertain and make millions of dollars off of this fact that they're, you know, and they use it for entertainment. But you got to realize the copy, you know, there's always an authentic whenever you see a copy somewhere. And so when you see it on the silver screen, to them it's entertainment. Little do they know that they're hosting a philosophy from hell to be perpetrated into a type of a persuasion that this is entertainment, when genuinely it is not. And and people may struggle with this, but let's just call it for what it is. The fact is that, yes, there is a law, there is a third of heaven that was cast out. Find that in Luke chapter 7, I believe. And the fact is that a third of the angels attempted to take God, and they were cast out of heaven. And my personal opinion is just simply the fact that Lucifer and a third of the angels, somehow Lucifer persuaded them, because he wanted to be as God, that God had a weak spot, because God gave us the decision and the choice to love him or not. That perhaps that, in my personal opinion, might have been something that was in Lucifer's heart, because he was so, you know, he became prideful, most beautiful created being. The fact is, released from his calling to bring all of worship before the throne, because he wanted to be as, and he convinced a third of heaven for that, and they were all removed. So today, they're active. Here's the fun part. There's a whole lot less of them, I think, that are active today, because Christians have been casting out demons for years. And they're just as real, a little bit less of them. But remember, we outnumber them 2-1. And with all this fear about the persuasion and power that hell might have, it doesn't hold a candle, because what comparison does the created have to the creator? You see what I'm saying? Is that Jesus Christ is a victor. He is the victor. And nobody can hold a candle to him. He is God indeed. Created beings who huff and puff, they only have power where there is deception. So when a family called us a little while back and said their bed is elevating and shaking, the whole family is frightened, things coming off the mantle, doors opening, closes, and now the kids are all crawling into mom and dad's king-size bed. And they called and said, "We are so scared. What does this mean? We're not Christians, but we don't know where to go. Will you come?" And I took a team there. And quickly, God showed what the issue was. And from that day forward, no more things flying off the mantle, no more things of doors opening and closing, beds elevating. They were so frightened that they were traumatized. And then when it all stopped, just because a couple of us stepped in, it's because of who we are. Mm-hmm. Because mm-hmm. Jesus is Lord in our lives, mm-hmm. and he guides us. And I just, you know what? This is so exciting. I can't tell you how exciting it is to walk with the Lord Jesus. Never a dull day. This is far from boring. Yeah. And it locks you into what is real.
Thanks, Herb. Friends, what Herb is saying is so true. If our idea of what life with God is supposed to be, religious or a predictably safe environment, and without opposition, may I submit to you that we probably need to get out of the pew more often. If you look at the Word of God and how God interacted with his people, is it any wonder why some of us expect the same from him today? What makes us think that he doesn't want that? What makes us think that he stopped? So why not cry out to the Father today and ask him to reveal himself to you in a new and a wonderful way? I hope you will. Please be sure to mark your calendars for upcoming Sought Out events. We have three upcoming that we want to share with you today. This Sunday, October 25th, we'll be in Snohomish for a home encounter. On November 8th, we'll be hosting a larger event at Rose Hill Community Center in Mukilteo. And then on November 15th, we'll be in Stanwood for another home encounter. Again, all these events are happening on Sundays and begin promptly at 5 o'clock. For more information, please go to our website at isoughtout.com. Remember, Sought Out Global is active on social media. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter for updates on happenings with the ministry or our meetings as they happen. To find out, just go to either Facebook or Twitter and search for Sought Out Global. To write us, our address is P.O. Box 1733, Mukilteo, Washington, 98275. Sought Out Global Radio also accepts online donations. Just go to our website at soughtoutglobal.com. Well, that's all the time we have for today. For Herb and Bethany Marks and our special guests, Jana Sini and Dan Hammer, I'm Mark Grote. Be sure to join us again next week for part 3 of Encounters with God, right here on Sought Out Radio.
The preceding program was made possible by partners of Sought Out Global Radio, calling you into greatness. If you would like to sign up to become partners with Sought Out Global Radio, you can do that at soughtoutglobal.com.